Do you celebrate Easter or Resurrection Sunday? And a memory verse challenge for the parents in this edition of Connecting Faith and Life. Hello, thank you for joining me in another edition of Connecting Faith and Life. I'm Mr. Brown. Thank you for taking a moment to listen to this. I try to keep these podcasts short so you can listen to them on your way to work, your way home from work, and whenever you can, whether you're doing dishes or something else around the house. So thank you for taking time to listen to this podcast. Today, I want to talk about Easter or Resurrection Sunday and talk about a memory verse challenge. I'm trying to figure out what you want to talk about first, but I'm talking about Easter or Resurrection Sunday first because our memory verse challenge to parents has a great verse for Easter or Resurrection Sunday, whatever you choose. Now, growing up as a kid, I only heard of Easter. As I got older, people started calling it Resurrection Sunday. And there's a lot of debate out there about whether Easter is a pagan holiday and we shouldn't be celebrating Easter as Christians and so on and so forth. And sometimes I think we allow our preferences to rule over our progress as believers. I was reading through this Romans chapter 14, and in Tony Evans' commentary, he talks about the fact that he asks this question, when we judge other people, do we judge them critically or charitably? Are we trying to help them or hurt them when we judge people about what they do? Like, they shouldn't be doing this, shouldn't be doing that. And sometimes we do that because we want to make ourselves feel good, like, I got some knowledge, and maybe I know something you don't know. At the end of the day is, Paul addressed this because in Romans chapter 14, they were struggling with the same stuff, whether some people ate certain meat, some people celebrate holidays. So I think we can learn a lot from this passage, whether you choose to call it Easter or Resurrection Sunday. The biggest question is, what are you celebrating and who are you celebrating it unto? Are you celebrating unto the Lord or some other things? And, you know, for me, I don't get into the Easter eggs and the baskets, but if some people do that and they put a verse in the egg, and am I to judge them for that? If that helps them to know God, I don't think you should be celebrating the issue of fertility, or some other God. But if you use other ways to celebrate Jesus Christ, hey, who am I to judge you? I'm going to make sure that I'm focusing on Christ and what He has done for me as we celebrate Easter or Resurrection Sunday, whatever you want to call it. Resurrection Sunday, whatever you want to call it. So look at Romans chapter 14, starting at verse 1. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. It says this, "As the one who is weak in the faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes that he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him." Verse 4, "Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? Is it before his own master that he stands or falls? And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person may esteem one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord, and the one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives unto himself, and none of us dies unto himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." And I love this idea that Paul is setting straight, because there were all kind of arguments about whether you should eat this food or not eat this food. And Paul said, whoever does it, they do it as unto the Lord. And who are you to judge someone else's servant? That we are servants of Christ. And so I don't want to spend my time judging someone else. I want to spend my time worshiping God. There's a lot of things that can distract us. A lot of things can be our preferences, whether that is some people say you shouldn't dance or you can dance and all those things. Well, we're doing it unto the Lord. As fellow believers in Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord, are we helping each other? Are we trying to be critical or be charitable to each other? Are we trying to help or hurt people? And again, sometimes I think we're like crabs in a bucket. We want to pull other people down so we can look good. It's not about me. I love what he says. One person esteems one day better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. So I look at Resurrection Sunday, Easter, I'm doing that in honor of the Lord. I'm celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm not celebrating something else. That is my focus. And if I know some churches do the Easter egg, they go you know, hide eggs for kids, and that's on them. I'm not going to tell them they can't do that. I want to elevate Christ in all of this. I want to elevate that we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we're Good Friday. For all my, you know, growing up as a kid, I didn't know why it was called Good Friday, right? That wasn't a good day. Christ died. But in the big scheme of eternity, it was more than a Good Friday. It was a great, amazing Friday that he willingly died on the cross for our sins, that he took the penalty. And I guess it wouldn't be Good Friday if there wasn't Resurrection Sunday. If he died and he did not pay the penalty for our sins, if he was not risen from the dead, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that we have no hope, but Christ is risen. And so that is what we celebrate. That's what I celebrate. So whether you call it Easter or Resurrection Sunday, I'm doing it in honor of the Lord. And I think I want to be able to, again, as Tony Evans said, I want to lift people up. I want to help people. And if I feel like, hey, I have a different view on this, well, I want to elevate the view that I have and help them see, hey, maybe we should be celebrating this, or, you know, but I want to make sure that I don't want to be judging another person's servant. We serve the Lord. And I think we as believers in Christ need to be working together more and not judging one another and putting each other down. Now, if you're, you know, celebrating some pagan holiday and you're offering up to a false god, that's a whole nother story. But if you choose to call it Easter or Resurrection Sunday, let's celebrate Jesus Christ. So that brings me to my memory verse challenge for parents. I'll put a link in the description, but I made a video challenging the parents at my church, VC Family Church, to learn the memory verse with the kids. And I also made the memory verse itself so you can learn the hand motion go along with it. And several people, including our pastor, the children's director, associate pastor, different people have been learning the verse. And I took videos of the adults doing it and some of the kids doing it. And the verse is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a verse that I've taught for years. I learned it in the King James Version. So I still teach it in the King James Version. And this verse is perfect for Easter or Resurrection Sunday, whatever you choose to call it, because it's talking about the resurrection of Christ. Actually, I think it's talking about the good news, but I think the focus of the good news is that Christ died and he was raised from the dead. So in 1 Corinthians 15, now when I teach this verse, I don't teach the whole verse. We teach the second part of verse 15. Chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. But I'm going to start reading at verse 1. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 starts by saying this. This is Paul. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it is I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. So Paul is talking about this idea that Christ came and Christ died for our sins. He said, let me break it down a little bit. Let me go back verse 1. He says, so now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which is you received, in which you now stand. So he said, I brought this good news to you, this good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I received, which you received, and you stand. You're standing on this truth. Verse 2, and by which you are being saved if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Are you trusting? And I think that is the gospel message or how we receive Christ. We receive Christ by trusting, believing, and putting all of our weight on what Christ has done. There's no work at all. It's not, I can't earn it. I can't. There's nothing I can do to earn it. But I can stand and I hold fast to this truth. When I say I believe, I am trusting in Christ. I'm placing all of my weight, like I am on the stool, all my weight on what Christ has done, not what I can do to be saved. So Paul says, "Hey, by which you're being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain." So if you didn't really believe this, then hey, you don't have anything to stand on either. It's Christ or nothing. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you as of first importance. Now, Paul preached about a lot of things. Even I just talked earlier about Romans chapter 14. He talks about not judging another servant, how some may eat this or celebrate this holiday over another, but we do it as unto the Lord. So Paul taught a lot, but he says this, but I delivered unto you as of first importance, which I received, also received. And what was it he received? That Christ died for our sins in accordance to the scriptures, with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So according to the word of God, according to the Bible, Christ died. That's a first importance. That is crucial. And I like, when I teach in Sunday school and teach kids, I want them to have that foundation of Christ dying for their sins. We can teach about a lot of things. And sometimes I think, unfortunately, we get into a lot of behavior modification, you know, be good, treat your neighbor right. And I think we should. I mean, there's some things we should do. But of first importance, the foundation is that Christ died. That's why I am who I am, because I've been transformed by the gospel. The good news came into my life, and now I am set free from sin. I am now a child of God. This is of first importance. It's huge that Christ died for our sins. Why? Because we stand before God guilty. That's how we stand. So this is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and he was buried and raised again the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And so this is true. So as we look at this Easter, on Friday, he died on the cross. He hung between two thieves. And, you know, growing up, I would always hear Christ died, Christ died. But when you really look at what happened, how he suffered, he was beaten, he bled, he died a horrific death for our sins. It just wasn't he just died and fell asleep, but he was beaten for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes, we are healed in the sense from sin because he took the penalty. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. God the Father took all of his wrath for all of the sin of all mankind and placed it on his son, Jesus Christ. And he willingly died in our place. Pause and think about that. Kids often ask me, what is my favorite movie? And especially when I'm in public, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite movie? And I'll tell them, I like two movies. I kind of tell them Finding Nemo, get them to laugh a little bit. I do like Finding Nemo. It's a funny movie. But The Passion of Christ. And why? Because when, I'm not saying everything in that movie was accurate, but when I see that being depicted, I know people say we shouldn't have any idols, and I get all that. But when I just get this visual image of a crucifixion and what would be a slimmer of what Christ really went through, that I can visually see what might have taken place, which I think had to be way worse, because it wasn't just a physical thing, that Jesus is one with the Father from all eternity, and he willingly put on this human flesh. And he suffered, he bled, and he died for our sins. And I think the physical was something else, because even Jesus said himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, if there's any other way, Father, let this cup pass, but not my will, but your will be done. So he knew it was going to be excruciating, that's painful. But even the fact that he was separated from the Father is a whole nother dimension I can't fully understand. And I can't even fully understand him being willingly taking the penalty for my sins, because, you know, as a kid, I would never want to take a whooping for my brother or sister. Like, no, they did it. They get them, right? But Christ willingly suffered, he bled, and died for our sins. And so he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And then he was seen. He appeared to Cephas and then the 12. And he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom were still alive, though some had fallen asleep. So during this time, they were still alive. And that's the thing. People say, well, Christ, people were hallucinating. 500 people? Hallucinate at the same time and seeing Jesus? No, this really took place, that Christ died and he was raised. And later in this passage, Paul talked about the fact that some people were saying there was no resurrection of the dead. And he said, if we have, if there's no resurrection, we have no hope. Because all of our hope, again, going back to verse 2, all of our hope is resting on the finished work of Christ. There is nothing else. Not my works, not my friends, no one else could be the sacrifice. Jesus is the only one. So I place all my hope in what Christ has done. What did he do? He died for our sins. Now, our memory verse, I'm going to read it out of King James. I'm going to show you the hand motion just because, well, if you're watching, you can see hand motion. But if you're not watching right now, you can go to our website or look in the link in the description under the Kids Ministry or Memory Verses on our app, and you can watch the memory verse and you can do all the hand motions. And I think this is the good news. And when we introduce it to our kids, I kind of talk to them about, give me some good news. So all the kids raising their hand, give me good news, like about getting a CAD and going on a trip and all these things, right? Then I told them, listen, my good news is gooder than all y'all news. My good news is gooder. And they didn't like the fact that I was using the word gooder. But it is better than all the other news because my news impacts all of mankind. Everybody won't be excited you got a cat. Everybody won't benefit from your cat or your trip, right? And so I wasn't downplaying their news. I was lifting up the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But I had to explain first the good news, that sometimes good news is gooder when you understand the bad news, when you understand the depravity and the darkness, right? And so the Bible says this, that in Genesis chapter 1, that we were created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, that God made man in his own image. The image of God, he made them. Male and female, he created them. So God made us to be image bearers of himself. That's why the Israelites, and they were told never to make any graven images. Why? Because they were supposed to be images, to image the Most High God, right? We're made in his image. We're made, our significance and value comes from the fact that we're made by God and for God to image, to be image bearers of the Most High God. And think about that. That's an amazing privilege that we're better than dogs, animals, monkeys, gerbils. Why? Because we are image bearers of the Most High God. But there's a problem. The bad news, sin. Sin into the world. Adam and Eve sinned, and death, sin into the world, and death through sin, and death passed all men because all have sinned, in Romans chapter 5, it says. So because of sin, we deserve to be separated from God forever in a place called hell. That's the bad news. And it gets worse because I can't do anything myself. I know everything in our world today tells you, hey, work hard, do this, you got this. I ain't got this. Another way, I can't even get it because I am inadequate. I don't have the capacity to pay for my own sins. So I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. But God, here comes the good news. Christ died on my behalf. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. That's another one of our memory verses. But that's the bad news. The good news is Christ came. And Paul said in chapter 15, of first importance that I pass me what I received. And this is our memory verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Let me find the King James. I want to make sure I'm reading it right. I know it. It's in my head. Matter of fact, I'm not even look at it. 1 Corinthians 15 and 4. Now, we start with the dot, dot, dot part. We don't, in the memory verse part, we don't do the part about, for I delivered unto you first importance, what I also received. We leave that part out. Not that it's not important, but we just want to focus on the second part of the verse. The second part of the verse 3 and the whole verse of 4. So the memory verse goes like this. If you're watching this on our app or YouTube or on our website, you can see me. But if not, I'll try to explain the verses. So explain the hand motion. So for 1 Corinthians, we put a finger out, say 1. So first, then we do a little long motion. Corinthians is a long word. So first, and take your hands like you're making parentheses and go Corinthians. Then we put 15, 3, and 4 on your finger. So 15, 5, 5, 5. Sometime I end up doing 20 because I go so fast. 15, 3, and 4. Now make a cross with your two fingers. Christ died. Point yourself for our, and make the ugliest face you can make and say sins. And I remember a little girl in my class, I told him, I said, listen, make the ugliest face you can. Now, that's hard for me to make an ugly face. And she goes, no, it's not. She got me. But make an ugly face and go sins. So start at the beginning. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Christ died for our sins, ugly face, according to the scriptures. So we open our hands like we're in the Bible, according to scriptures. and that. Now, the and that part, that's why I like the King James. It says and that. We put one hand on our hip, one finger in the air, and go and that. Kind of a little attitude, a little sassiness, and that. And it's just fun. I'm not making light of the Bible, but I want to relate with kids and get them to memorize. And I'll tell you this verse. I've been using this verse over 10 years. This memory verse. And all, I mean, most of the kids memorize this verse because it is so, it's so fun. So hand on your hip, finger in the air, and that, shaking the head and the hips, and that. He was buried, so to put your hands both down like you're burying something. He was buried. And then, and that again, he rose again, hands in the air. He rose again the third day, put number three up, open your hands again, according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. The verse is actually kind of easy to learn because it is the gospel message. It's the good news that Christ died for our sins. He paid the penalty for all the things we thought, said, and done that were wrong against him, that displeased God, embraced God's law. All the things, all the times we rejected him. And I love that definition of sin. Sin is rejecting God and the world he created. Think about that. I think it says rejecting and ignoring God in the world he created. That's ultimately sin. We don't want you, God. You made it. You gave us life. You gave us breath. But we reject you. And so and we do that by being selfish, living our own way. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Isaiah that we like sheep all gone astray. We all want our own way. Just imagine stomping your feet. I want my own way. And because of that, we deserve to be separated from God forever. But God sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And Christ paid the penalty. And how do we know that God accepted it? Well, the resurrection is proof that God accepted the payment of Jesus Christ. So the resurrection is my receipt. Kind of like if you ever walked out the store and the alarm system went off. You're at a grocery store or some retail store and you walk out, and ring, 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 you know. They want you to come back and they check your bags and they look for your what? Your receipt. Listen, the resurrection is the receipt that my sins have been paid for in full. And Paul even said it later in 1 Corinthians. If there's no resurrection, we have no hope because Christ raising from the dead is our receipt that the Father received as payment. And now Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. And if Christ was not raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are found to be misrepresenting God because we testify about God that he raised Christ whom he did not raise if it is true that the dead are not raised. So if Christ didn't raise, guess what? We have no hope. But the resurrection is our receipt that our sins have been paid for. So I can rest on the finished work of Christ. So if you're a parent or a student, let me challenge you to learn that verse, the gospel, the good news, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. And you can learn any version you want. I just like doing a King James because it's a little fun with it. But Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. And we can rest our hope in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Hey, thank you for joining me for another edition of Connecting Faith and Life. I'm your host, Mr. Brown, if I didn't say it at the beginning. Thank you so much. And I hope that all the things we produce through Proclaim Ministries will help you live for God by connecting faith and life. So please support our ministry. Go to proclaimministry.com, download our app, like our stuff on YouTube and social media if you see it. And we would love to hear from you. I would love your feedback. So give us some feedback, leave a comment. And ultimately, we want these things to help you live for God by connecting faith and life. Peace.